Well, hello, church. It is good to be together. I hope you're doing well. I don't know what kind of environment you find yourself right now in your home, or if you're just watching this by yourself, or you're watching it with your roommates, or you're watching it with your family, and the kids are gathered around. It is good to see you, and well, I wish I could see you. I guess this isn't really seeing you, but it's doing it a little bit different this morning, and this is a new thing for all of us, and so we're going to try this, just looking for some way to connect ourselves with one another. While we've been asked to socially distance ourselves, that doesn't mean we need to be disconnected. If anything, all the more we need to connect with one another and encourage and build each other up as we walk through these days, because it can be really hard. We're finding ourselves in crazy times like we've never experienced before, and schools are closed. Some of you are doing the homeschool thing, teaching your kids, and that brings with it its own dynamics and stresses, but I hope that that's going well. Sports seasons have been canceled for the time being. Kids have been sent home from college doing online classes. There's all kinds of changes. Some people have been laid off from work. And if you haven't, then you know somebody who has, and our worlds have been turned upside down. And as I was thinking about this earlier this week, the reality of it is that this is one of those times whenever we're facing like a storm, storms in our lives, and there's this uncertainty, there may be fear, there may be anxiety, and all kinds of things that just start to crash in on us at times, like, how are we going to make it? What does this look like? And those kinds of things. And I was reminded of the hymn and the lyrics to the hymn that we love so much, that speaks of storms of uncertainty that we face in our lives. And it says this: my hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. And then the refrain, the chorus is this: on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And then the second verse is the one that comes to my mind: whenever darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. And then the third verse: his oath, his covenant, his blood. Ever feel like you've been in a flood? There is just, it's out of control, and you don't know, and you don't have any control. The hymn writer says, it's his covenant and his blood that support us in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. So guys, I want to encourage you as we go throughout these days just to cling to, and may that be our declaration through these days, that it's on Jesus Christ, who is our solid rock, that we're standing, and that we know that all other ground is sinking sand. In times when all is upside down, and the one who is our solid rock is Jesus. And so as the psalmist says in Psalm 46, verse 1, let's cling to this, that God is our refuge, that he is our strength, he is our ever-present help in trouble. And what a gift it is this morning that we can even meet like this in our homes. And so let's not forget that, and let's cling to that truth and know that he is ever present with us in these days. And so as our world has been turned upside down in so many ways, it's interesting that as we've been journeying through this Lenten series that we have entitled Upside Down, we're headed on our way in a journey to the cross and towards Easter. But the way that we were talking about things being turned upside down was way different. We were talking about how when our lives are turned upside down because of whenever Jesus enters into our lives and we understand and we grasp his grace and his goodness to us in our lives and what it means to follow after him, then our lives get turned upside down. And I think really whenever our lives have been turned upside down like they have been over the past week, the thing that we're finding is that life following Jesus in the upside down way that is so opposite and foreign to the world, that is all about living for self and self-preservation and for living for our own pursuits. Here, what Jesus says here is the thing that's going to carry us through. few weeks ago, we talked about the importance of just spending time and sitting in Jesus' presence being more important than anything, as we looked at the story of Martha and Mary and how Mary chose the one thing, the one needful thing that was so important in the priority of spending time at the feet of Jesus. And then we talked about the next week about how Mary came and looking at as Jesus gathered together with his friends in Bethany. And they had this meal, and Mary came and she poured out this expensive perfume on his feet, and she wiped his feet, and it was an example. It was a demonstration of what it looks like for the person who's fallen after Jesus to worship him in adoration, in full devotion. And so that's where we've been, and we want to continue in through this series. And this morning we're going to look at John chapter 13 as we continue our journey through Lent towards resurrection, to Resurrection Sunday. And so I want to remind us in these days of uncertainty, and maybe there's fear and there's anxiety, and just not knowing what this is all going to look like and what the future holds, I want to encourage you and I want to remind you that you are so loved. So loved. And here in this passage this morning, as we look at this, what we find is that John's telling us the story about how Jesus is meeting with his disciples. It's his last supper that he's going to have with them. And so if you have your Bibles, let's turn to John chapter 13 and let's read this together. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 15 is where we're going to be today. And so as we turn to God's word, let's bow and let's pray. And let's come before him and ask him to open our eyes right now to hear what he has for us to hear. All right. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you now and we just ask you to speak to our hearts. Lord, you know our concerns. You know the things that are weighing down on us. And Lord, I ask that you would speak to each of us right now. Speak to your church. May they know that they can rest fully confident in your grace and your goodness and your faithfulness. And so speak to us. Help us to hear from you and help us to understand and to sense your leading as to what that looks like and what you're calling us to do in our lives as we go from this place. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's read this together. John chapter 13, if you have your Bibles, let's read together. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, he rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. And then he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand." And Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash your feet, you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash your feet, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not all of us are clean." And when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do just as I have done to you." Here's the deal, guys. Jesus, he knew that his hour had come. The time had come for him to leave those whom he dearly loved. And what we're told here in verse 1 is that he loved them to the very end. And so what does that mean? And how does he love them? In this passage, how is it that he loves his disciples? Here's what we're told. We're told that he gets up, that he takes off his outer garments, that he takes a towel, that he ties it around his waist. He pours out some water in a basin and he begins to wash their feet. And as we talked about a few weeks ago, as Mary came in and she washed Jesus' feet and wiped Jesus' feet with her hair after pouring perfume all over his feet, we're reminded that this was a task that was left for the lowest of the low. It wasn't something just for anybody to do, but it was a dirty job. You know, back in those days, things were really dirty. I just remember running around as a kid and without shoes on at times, and just how dirty our feet can get. And back in the day, all the dust, you just imagine all the dusty roads, you imagine the animals going here and there, and feet got really dirty in here. This was a task in that day that was meant for the lowest of the low. And this is what we see Jesus doing. He stoops low. What does it look like for him to love? He gets down on his knees and he starts to wash their feet. And he even washes the feet of the one who is about to betray him. And as he washes their feet, he cleans their dirty feet and how dirty they are. And Peter knows this. And he comes to Simon Peter. And what does Peter say? He's like, Lord, you're going to wash my feet? And Jesus answers him, what I'm doing, you don't understand now, but afterwards you're going to understand. And Peter said, all right, but you're not going to wash my feet. No way. You're not going to touch them. They're dirty. And Jesus responds to Peter and he says, no, it's the only way. If you want to have anything to do with me, then you need to let me wash your feet. He's making it clear that he needs his feet cleaned and he needs his feet cleaned by him. What we need to understand here is that Jesus washing his disciples' feet explains the cross. And the cross explains what's going on here as Jesus washes their feet. It is the ultimate in service. But not only is it the only way, but it's all that you need. Peter hears that it's essential for him to get his feet washed by Jesus, and that's the only way. And so Peter says, all right, then go ahead, wash all of me. I want you to take it the whole way then. And do you hear what Jesus' response is? Jesus tells him, the only thing that you need to have cleansed is your feet, and my cleansing is sufficient. You don't need anything else. Do you see the cross being explained here? Do you have a greater understanding of what Jesus is doing here with his disciples? Remember, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave them. He knew what was coming. Jesus was fully aware of it. His disciples didn't know what was going to come in the next few days, in the next few months for them. Sort of like we don't know. We never have known, but here we really are maybe coming to the realization that we don't have a clue as to how the next few days, weeks, months are going to go for us. But here we can find encouragement. Jesus knew. Jesus was well aware of it, and yet he continued to step right into it with them. He knew that he was going to be crucified. He knew that it was going to be hard, but because he loved them, he was continuing to step forward into it and to help them understand all of this in yet another way. What does he do here? What does he do here to show them his love for them? He humbles himself. He takes off his garments. He takes on the role, the form of a servant. He stoops low, he cleans them, and he explains to them the necessity and the sufficiency of that cleansing. Guys, do you see what Jesus is doing? He's showing them what love looks like, and I'm reminded as we read this of what Paul tells the church in Philippi. In Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, he's trying to remind them and encourage the church there in Philippi to be unified and to be of one mind and how they are to humbly love one another. And he says this, and he takes them back and he says, look at what Jesus did. And that's what we're doing right now. We want to look at what is Jesus doing and how is he showing his love and what is he calling us to. And this is what he says there in Philippians 2 verses 6 through 8. He says this about Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, he didn't count equality with God something to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. This is what love is. And Jesus demonstrates his love towards us all on the cross. And he demonstrates what that love looks like here in this passage as he's washing their filthy, their dirty feet, even the feet of the one who will betray him. That's us. That's our lives. And so consider Jesus' love for you, but let's not stop there. In verses 12 through 15, Jesus shows them not only how he's going to love them as he's about to lay down his life for them, but he's also showing them how they are to live and how they are to love others. And do just that, like that we are supposed to do just as he has done to us in the same manner. He says, what you have seen played out before you, what I've just done for you as a teacher, as an example of how you ought to love others, is what I'm calling you to do. It's a distinguishing feature of those who follow after Jesus in the same way, even loving those who betray you. And so that's what it looks like to follow Jesus. That's what it looks like in this upside down world of following after him, which is really just turning things right side up the way that they were meant to be. It's laying our lives down to serve and to love others. And before they leave their time together that night, Jesus, if we look ahead to verses 33 to 35, and he says this, little children, yet a little while I am with you, and you will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Do you hear that? Let me just read that one more time. What does Jesus say? He says, little children, yet a little while I'm with you. You're going to seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I'm going to say to you, where I'm going, you can't come. But here's the new commandment that I'm giving to you, that you would love one another just as I have loved you. Because by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Friends, in these days, don't miss this. Don't miss this, what this passage tells us. You are so loved by the Savior, by the one who, and how did he do it? He laid down his garments. He took on the role of a servant. He cleansed us of all of our filth, our dirt, our sin. What kind of mercy and grace is that? How can it be? And might we be overwhelmed by that? By the mercy of Jesus, who didn't count equality with God something to be grasped, but he humbled himself. He emptied himself of all but love, and he was obedient to death, even death on the cross, so that you and I could be washed and cleaned, so that we could be forgiven of our sins. And this morning, as we're journeying through these days and things are all turned upside down, let's live our lives in a way that doesn't make sense to the world around us. This is the time for the church to be the church. And let's not focus on ourselves, let's not focus on our own pursuits, and let's be freshly reminded of what it is that we're called to, that we are called to love one another just as he has loved us. And what does that look like? What does that look like for you today? Maybe it's making a phone call. Maybe it's checking in on someone to see how they're doing. Maybe it's, and it can get really hard whenever you're in the same place with a lot of the same people at times. But what does it look like for you to love your family, your spouse, your roommates? What does it look like for you to serve them? What does it look like for you to get down on your knees and to wash their feet? Maybe it's not washing their physical feet. That's not what I'm talking about. What are ways, the things that you're thinking, man, that's left for the lowest person? That's a job for someone else. How can you love each other? As you look around in your community, what are ways that we can love one another? Is there someone in need? Is there someone who's hurting? How can we come alongside? You know, if there are any of those things that you think that we as a church family can come around, please let me know. And we'll get the word out and we will make it happen if we can. But what are ways that we can love one another? Jesus showed us how to love, and he told us to follow his example, and so let's do it this week. I hope this has been encouraging for you this morning. As we just consider this, I want to ask you, how's the Holy Spirit speaking to you now? In the midst of these days that are uncertain, and maybe there's some anxiety, and maybe there's stress, and maybe there's worry, these things can come, and they can start to really come into us and start to take over. I want to encourage you to just think upon and reflect on how much you are loved, and know that that is the reality. And remember, as the psalmist says in Psalm 23, that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, those are crazy times. Those can be scary times. What does the psalmist say? I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Guys, I want you to know that he is with you, that he loves you, and that you can count on him, and you can find rest and peace in him. And so just rest in that this week, and as we go about this week, I want to encourage us, let's connect with one another, and let's encourage one another in these days, and let's look for ways to love each other just as Christ has loved us. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, and just close our time together this morning. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we love you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your word. And as we look at this passage this morning, we thank you for the reminder of your deep, deep love for us. And so as we think about our lives in this world, Lord, would you continue to speak to us? Would we stay close to you? Would we find our rest in you, because you are our ever-present help in trouble? And why wouldn't we run to the one who loves us more than any other, more deeply than we can even understand? And so, Lord, also I pray that you would just convict us, that you would speak to us about how it is that we can love those that you have placed around us in a way that imitates your example in this passage to us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.